Welcome back to Vocal Point. This is Jerry Newcomb. Right now we're going to talk with William Owens Jr., who has been involved, especially his dad has been involved, for example, in the civil rights movement. And Bill is going to be embarking in a campaign called Race to Reconcile. We'll talk about that in just a moment. He is the author of a book called Obama, Why Black Americans Should Have Doubts. And with the Ferguson, you know, announcement from the grand jury about to happen in the news, I think this is a good time to talk about the problem of race in America and what we can do about it, especially as Christians. Bill, welcome to the program.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. Good to be with you.
Sure. And just real briefly, why don't you tell us what this Race to Reconcile campaign is all about?
Well, you know, racetoreconcile.com, it's all about three primary visions. Number one, it's important for all of us to recognize that the number one element to us is to reconcile our hearts to God, number one. We'll never find peace with one another as long as we're out of sync with God. And number two, for us to reconcile one to another, regardless of our color. Now, that might be on a racial element, but it could also mean some of our own relationships with our husbands, with our wives, with our children, with coworkers. Reconciliation is what America needs. And then the third aspect of Race to Reconcile is it's a race for me personally. I'm riding my bike 2,464 miles from Jacksonville Beach, Florida, all the way to San Diego, and I'll be making stops throughout the trek Wow. to speak on and encourage people toward reconciliation.
Wow, that's amazing. How long will you plan to do that?
You know, I'm expecting this trek to probably take about 90 days. It's not something that I'm trying to finish overnight. We're getting a lot of people responding that they want to host a small meet and greet. We're going to be having events called Celebration Forgiveness, which could be over a cup of coffee. It could be a prayer breakfast. Our first main event is being scheduled for Tallahassee, Florida on the 17th. We're going to have a panel discussion on celebrating forgiveness. So, you know, it could take as long as 90 days for me to finish trek. I can't tell you how excited I am, the feedback that we're getting on this.
Well, 90 days, that seems very quick as far as 2,400 miles. I mean, how many miles is that per day if you average it out?
Well, you know,
I don't have a calculator in front of me.
Well, I'm expected to average about 40 to 60 miles a day on my bike.
Okay.
A trek coast to coast can be done. If you're going nonstop, a person can really cover that distance in a short period of time if they're going nonstop and just resting and biking and resting and biking. But that's not going to be the case with this event.
Okay, I got it. All right, anything else you want to say about that event before we plow into Ferguson for a moment?
Yes, I do. I mean, I think the issue, of course, is not the bike trek. The issue is the theme and the purpose. And I really encourage people to find out what they can do to bring reconciliation to their lives and to their communities. And that's what Race to Reconcile is about. The theme of it, the aspect of it. In fact, I'll be writing a book throughout the trek. Wow. I'm publishing a book before the trek. It's actually a book of some of my poems that talks about these issues. So that's the theme of it. I'm really, really excited about that. The effort will be actually videoing the event, and people can follow me online at our website, Race to Reconcile.
All right, so racetoreconcile.com. All right, now here we are in the year of our Lord, 2014. Who would have ever thought there'd be a black president? Martin Luther King Jr. said so famously so many years ago, 1963, I look forward to the day when people will not be judged by the color of their skin, but instead by the content of their character. Now, that mm-hmm. is a fantastic ideal. I agree with that ideal. And I think it's sad to see examples of race baiting. And I think one could argue that with the Ferguson, there was a big rush to judgment. And it's almost like people are on different sides of the issue based on the color of their skin. And as opposed to getting to the bottom line, what really happened, was an injustice committed, you know, who was right, who was wrong, etc.
You know, you're absolutely right. There's something else that Dr. Martin Luther King said as well while sitting in the prison in 1957. He delivered this message. He said, quote, first, we must develop and maintain the capacity to forgive. He who is devoid of the power to give is devoid of the power to love. And so I believe what's happening with Ferguson is simply created the conditions by which we can really see what's in our hearts. It's always been there. And this nation has not been healed from its racial past. Regardless of what that past is, when I take a look at the example of my Lord and Savior, he's hanging on the cross and he says, forgive them for they know not what they do. So the essence of reconciliation here is not for us to overemphasize the wrong that's done us, but for us to rest in the ability for us to forgive that wrong regardless of what it is. And it's unfortunate when these things happen, those who have not yielded themselves to this powerful life-changing impact of God's love in our hearts can't help but yield themselves to the alternative, and that is to use these venues, use these experiences to show that they've not been changed by God's love.
Hmm. Well, okay, let's take the example specifically again of Ferguson, in the sense that before the grand jury even came out with its pronouncement, which I don't believe it has yet, to my knowledge. By the way, this is being recorded on November 18th, just so people know. It's set to air on November 20. Anyway, bottom line is, it seems like there was a big rush to judgment in that, oh, the cop was wrong because he was white and he shot a black guy. But then once you start looking at some of the details, you think, oh, my goodness, if you were in that cop's shoes, would you not have done the same thing? I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there.
What? Well, I think what you're saying is very, very important, because it highlights the fact that it really has nothing to do with Michael Brown. It really has nothing to do with Officer Wilson. It really has nothing to do with someone dying. Of course, anyone dying is horrific. What it has to do is it has to do with a far-reaching element, and it's this, that people are still where they are. And anytime something happens, they will use that as a springboard to express that emotion or to express that element of unforgiveness. This is why no judgment had to be passed, because they've already made their minds up. Now, when I say they could be anyone. It's not limited to a group of black young people or a black person, a white person, or a yellow person. I mean, let's kind of shift away from Ferguson for just one second.
Okay.
And let's just look at what happens in our own personal lives when perhaps someone dear to us might say something, we jump the gun, or a coworker does something and we get upset. You see, the idea is, if it's already there, all you need is the condition for it to manifest itself.
Yeah.
And now if we go back to Ferguson,
it was an excuse.
Already there, Jerry.
Yeah.
It was already there. The incident that happened, tragic as it was what was necessary for it to come out.
Right.
And this is why no judgment was necessary. It did not take a rational looking at the facts.
Right.
It was simply the fact that it's always there. And it shows how divided our nation is, and how important this message of reconciliation is. I see it as a great opportunity for us to identify, let this sickness come up, and for us to identify what it is. And as a Christian myself, I'm encouraging people to listen. Let's stop waiting for the narrative of that which is not effective, and let's begin to create the narrative that is, and that's to forgive. You know, that's the solution, not just in this incident, but in issues. You look at our politicians, how many times they are so antagonistic against one another. You know, this nation is really in trouble because our hearts are in trouble.
Hmm. All right, we're talking right now with Bill Owens Jr., and he is participating in a campaign where he's going to be bicycling across the country, and you can learn more information at racetoreconcile.com. He's not doing this for the athletics, per se. He's doing this to get the message out about racial reconciliation through Christ. Now, Bill, what is the unemployment rate among blacks today about?
You know, I don't have the numbers statistically tight, but I will say that they're probably twice the amount of white Americans, if not more. Again, don't quote me on that.
Yeah, no, I understand. But it's interesting.
But
I mean, do you think some people might be disappointed with Obama? I mean, in the sense that, some of the black people who voted for him thinking, my goodness, you know, where's my gas? Where's my, you know, this is not working out.
Well, you know, they're very disappointed. In fact, I talk about many of these disappointments because a lot of people, not only blacks, a lot of people are disappointed in Obama, whether they're black or white, whether they're Hispanic. At the end of the day, it's a checkbook issue. At the end of the day, it's a community issue. And our current president has made life in America very complicated because he's done a lot of things that's been very divisive. Mm-hmm. And we're beginning to see that. In fact, in my book that's coming out, I give the first chapter of my book away for free. Just go to my website and request it, and you can download it. You will be able to recognize that the core issue doesn't start with our leaders. It starts with us, Jerry.
Well, what is that book, by the way, Race to Reconcile?
Yes, the name of the book is Race to Reconcile. You can download the first chapter for free on my site. The key is we inevitably receive the leaders that we deserve.
Yeah, that's true.
We were looking for a leader who would give us things, a leader who would make things right. It's just like marrying someone to take revenge on someone else.
Oh.
You know, how's that going to work out for you?
Yeah.
It's not going to work out, you know, so it was all based on fear. We chose a president and a leader out of fear. So it's not surprising to me. In my book I wrote in 2008, Obama, Why Black America Should Have Doubts, I talked about his ideologies. I didn't attack him as a person. It doesn't matter what color you are. What matters is who you are.
Right.
And we fail to recognize that. And it's imperative that we as a people, when I say a people, there's one blood. God has given one blood among all nations.
Right.
That's the bottom line. If you're laying on an operating table and need blood, the only question you got is, you know, are you O positive or A or B or what? Can I get some of your blood to live? Not what color are you?
Right.
That's the issue here. And so that's why Ferguson, it's really unfortunate because I believe that they're using Michael Brown's death. I almost call it blood money. They're using his death. They're buying it. They're using it. They're spinning it to bring about more division, more hatred, and it's horrific. And it's going to be judged more so by God than any court.
Well, you know, it's interesting that bottom line is there are people of questionable character, whether they're white or black. And I think the more we learned about Michael Brown, the more you think, okay, would you want this guy to babysit your children or your grandchildren? And I'd have to say no. So why is this guy held up as a hero? I mean, I've heard some, you know, liberal Episcopalian priests say something like, you know, oh, this is, you know, he's a saint or something like that, Saint Michael Brown, or, you know, that kind of thing. And it's like, whoa, please, you know, find a different hero. This guy isn't it. Not when we learn about these details about him.
Well, you know, in this particular issue, it's not the dog wagging the tail, Jerry. It's the tail wagging the dog. Okay, this has nothing to do with the tragic death of Michael Brown. It has nothing to do with it. It's not because of who he was. This has to do with the fact that there is an agenda, and anytime there's an agenda, you look for a way to advance that agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And Michael Brown's death was an opportunity to advance that agenda. Okay, and in order to do that, they had to co-opt the permission of the Brown family, and they had to co-opt his parents, had to bring them in, pay them money, and use that whole element to use this to further that agenda.
Yeah.
That's why I consider a lot of this blood money. This is why Attorney General would leave his most important post to ensure law from a national platform to interject himself into this, shake hands with other black people and say, I feel your pain. You know, it's an agenda.
Mm.
You know, so we can't be, we can't let the issues cloud our view of what it really is. And this is why we can't allow their narrative to be our narrative and allow that narrative to create in us a defensive approach. The offensive approach is, listen, you need to forgive. That's why when I look at some of the other sayings of Dr. Martin Luther King, it's just profound that we have left a lot of his other sayings on the table.
Yeah.
You know, when we forget in a sense what the evil deed was. And not only that, I just kind of dream about this. What if Ferguson...
We're almost out of time. We're almost out of time.
Sure.
Go ahead. You can give us a closing thought on Race to Reconcile, but go ahead and finish that thought.
Race to Reconcile is this. We can use the event in Ferguson as a great opportunity to show the power of forgiveness. We can use it as an opportunity to show that forgiveness is able to heal hurts, it's able to craft relationships, and it's able to allow us to go to a whole different level. And just like Christ said, he said, even if they did wrong, he said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And this is the hope we have, that I have personally with Race to Reconcile.
And you're right on when you say that that's what Dr. King himself said and did. Bill Owens, Jr., again, racetoreconcile.com. Thanks so much for being with us. God bless.
Jerry, I appreciate it.
All right.